This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and today I am presenting to you an audio version of a message that was first published in the month of February of the year 1997. That makes it almost about 27 years old. Now, the reason why I give you the dates, because this is being recorded in January of the year 2024. I don't know where my mind is. Anyway, the reason why I give you dates of the time that this message was first published and the time that it's being recorded is twofold. Number one, some things that may be addressed in this track are old and outdated. They are no longer relevant for today as far as certain people and events and places are concerned. The other point is that by it being 2024, 27 years later, I might make some comments about the way things are today and show you the relationship or refer to the relationship of what was said back in 1997 and what is relevant for us today. So some of the things are relevant and some aren't. But at the same token, I want you to know this: when it comes to the Word of God, it is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. 6,000 years ago, today, or 6,000 years from now, it makes no difference. God's word is his word, and we would all do well, those that are exposed to it, to take heed to what it is saying and adjust our lives according to it. Okay, now the subject scriptures for this message are found in the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter number 6. And we're going to be reading verses 7 and 8. And as I said, this is for the month of February of the year 1997. Well, if you have your Bibles available and you've gotten to the scripture, passage of scripture, you'll find these words recorded. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse number 8 says, for he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption or death. But he that sows to the Spirit, God shall of the Spirit reap life eternal. The title for this message, The Death of Tupac Shakur. Now, as I said, this is a message that's basically having to do with a certain individual that was alive and had recently, well, we'll get into it as I get along, but it opens up some doors, which I'll comment about it as we go along. Now, as I say, it is very seldom that I address a situation concerning a particular individual as far as messages of the Word of God are concerned. However, God has shown many of us ministers, as well as others, what we can expect in these last days. We are beginning to see the fruits, or rather reaping, what we have been sowing. And as the subject verses state, God's word is, has been, and will always be true. Now, a few months back, a young man by the name of Tupac Shakur was fatally shot by an unknown assailant. Now, while this sort of thing goes on all the time, this particular shooting has had some far-reaching effects in the lives of our young people as well as some older folks. The reason being that this young man was looked on as being an idol to hundreds of thousands of our youth, especially in the black community. Even though they don't realize it, they had made him a sort of god. They literally worshiped this man. They bought his recordings by the millions. His concerts were sold out usually before the day of the performance. All sorts of items, from shirts, pants, jewelry, hairstyle, and the like, can be seen on our youth every day. On radio and TV, people are talking even today about Tupac. Just to interject something here, what they are doing about Tupac is what some, or rather most Christians, need to be doing about Jesus Christ. It is surprising, no, not really, that a lot of Christians have more good things to say about this young man than they do about Jesus. Well, let's look at what this young man was doing to get all this acclaim and achieve godlike status in the entertainment industry and our community. Tupac was an entertainer, or that's what they say, you know. His vehicle of entertaining was rap music, the particular type of rap music that he specialized in is known as gangster rap. Gangster rap has been described not by those of us that dislike it, but by the rappers themselves as the reality of life, usually in the hood. This reality that they are talking about is gang violence, drugs, death, and sexual activities up to and including the gang rape of women. They say that they are just presenting the reality of where they live. And this, in most instances, may be true. However, the idea of presenting it in the package of entertainment is strictly ludicrous. A better term for it is programming or indoctrination. Where have these terms been heard before? Talking about programming and indoctrination. They have been used to describe what many people, including myself, do all the time. Preaching or teaching. That's right. What these people are actually doing, talking about Tupac and others like him, are actually preaching and teaching. So, Tupac was a preacher. And what was he preaching? Sexual violence against women, rebellion against authority, retaliation against those that disrespect you, and just plain killing, all of which go against what God says is right. And this young man had become a multimillionaire preaching to our youth all the ways that they can solve their problems. Tupac was sowing the seeds of his destruction for the sole purpose of making money. He was sowing, as the subject scripture says, to the flesh. Now, the word of God says that those that do that shall of the flesh reap destruction. And how did Tupac die? By the same violence that he preached or glorified. You see, anytime you continuously talk about something, you are in effect glorifying it. You are giving it the preeminence in your life. In the case of Christians, Jesus should have the preeminence in our lives, and we should be continuously talking about Him. If you talk more about other things than you do about Him, talking about Jesus, then they have more importance, to you than He does. Now, when Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," He was saying that the only way the people will be convinced to come to Him is if you continuously tell them that He is the answer to all their problems. In other words, you will glorify Jesus. Well, by Tupac continuously talking about what he was talking about, many of his fans who listened to his recordings day in and day out, day after day, get convinced that what he is saying is the reality of life, and they need to accept it and adapt their lives to the solutions that he presents. Now, after his death, people are saying he really didn't live like he rapped. He was a God-fearing man that was raised in the Pentecostal church. Well, what they are saying then is the man was a hypocrite. And he was doing what he was doing strictly for the money. Preaching against God 6 days a week and going to church on Sunday. Friends, he might as well not go to church at all. His church going means nothing to God. Jesus says that out of the abundance of the heart or spirit, the mouth speaks. You can find that in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 6 and verse number 45. He also said in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you will look at the passion with which this man performed, you will see what was in his heart, and it wasn't Jesus Christ. If it wasn't Jesus Christ, then who was it? Try the devil. Once again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 24, no man can serve two masters. The one that has the preeminence in your life is the one you serve. The other means nothing to you and is usually despised or rejected or cast out. That was just paraphrasing what Matthew 6:24 says. Now, next, they say, look at all the good things he did in the community. The Bible says, once again, in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses number 8 through 9, that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, not works or good deeds, lest any man should boast. In short, according to the scriptures I just gave you, Tupac was striking out all the way around. Now listen carefully. Unless this man repented of his sin before he died, unlike what a lot of people want to believe, this man, an idol to many, is in hell right now. Do you want to follow in his footsteps? Who is responsible for the death of Tupac? Four groups of people are responsible. First, he is. He sowed the seeds of his own destruction. He glorified violence and he died by it. And he was not the first. There was a rapper named E-Z-E. I think he was a member of either N.W.A. or Naughty by Nature fame. But anyway, E-Z-E glorified fornication and adultery, and he died of AIDS, a sexually transmitted disease. In other words, fornication and adultery, the things that he glorified, ended up killing him. God is proving that his word is reality. Second on the list is his fans. If they had not been spending all that money showing their approval of what he was saying, then he would not have been encouraged to continue on that path and get worse and worse. Remember this, if you pay a person to act a fool, they will continue to do it. The worse he got, the more money he made. Third is the leaders in the community. They stood by and defended what he was doing, giving people the idea that there was nothing wrong in it. Even a lot of women that complained about the nature of the garbage that he was talking about the violence against women and the gang rape and so forth, when those women spoke up, they were looked on as being silly by other women. And we wonder why women are continually being raped, beaten, and such, even today, some 27 years later. And fourth is the preachers in the communities. If you get a chance, you can go online to the website of this ministry, wordofgodministry.net. Go to the tract section of the that's on the home page. You see a link that says tract. There's a bar that runs across near the top of the page with different links on it. One of them says tracts. Go click on that tract button and then search the contents of that tract section for a title called The Prostitution of the Church. That comes in two parts, part one and part two. You can find those are for the for November and December of 1996. You can click on that those links and read or listen to an audio message of those particular messages. That those are already on audio, so you can either listen to them or read them. But anyway, if you do that, you will see or hear what I mean about preachers being responsible for what's going wrong in the neighborhoods, and why in the case of Tupac Shakur and a lot of these other rappers that have been killed, preachers bear a very big responsibility in what happens. Now, every preacher that defended this young man and said good things about him and what he was doing is going to have to answer to God for every soul that ends in hell because of what this young man and others like him are doing. The only thing they are interested in, talking about these preachers, is the money and popularity they attain from speaking good about these rappers. Tupac may have been a good man, and God may have blessed him with a gift, but he used that gift not to glorify God, but the devil. The devil provided the opportunity and the money, and Tupac went after it. Then, when the devil had him right where he wanted him, he killed him. This is what the devil will do to all of those that follow him. If you read Know Your Enemy, the Devil, which is another tract that you can find on that website I gave you earlier about prostitution of the church and so forth, you get on there and get to look for January of 1997. That track, you can read it, and it's also in audio so that you can listen to it as well. But anyway, that message there will give you some ideas of how the devil goes about doing things, and that way you can get to know what he's doing and be prepared to fight against it when it comes against you. Because rest assured, anytime you out here trying to do what's right, as far as God is concerned, the devil's going to be right there trying to find some way to mess you up, especially if you out here preaching the word of God and setting a godly example. He's coming after you. So you might as well get prepared for it and be able to recognize the signs. Now, many other entertainers, especially in the music business, are just as guilty as Tupac was. They were raised in the church and had the ability to sing or play an instrument. That ability was given to them by God to be used to glorify Him and uplift His people. But the devil came in and flashed big money in front of their faces, and they, being blinded to what they were doing, used that gift to help the devil destroy more souls. They are willing pawns in the devil's hands, and look at the impact that they are having. And I am not just talking about black entertainers either. Elvis Presley, Madonna, Jerry Lee Lewis, cousin of evangelist Jimmy Swaggart, and many more, some dead and some still alive, are going down that same path. Jesus said, "Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And narrow is the gate, and straight is the path that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it." Look in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 13 and 14. The point is that the devil makes everything look so innocent that people just flock after what these people are putting out. The only true reality is God's word. Tupac and the rappers sing about the reality in the hood. Well, that is the reality of God's word, which says the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter number 6, the first part of verse number 23. They are only proven that God's word was, is, and will always be true. Anytime you leave the path that God says for us to walk, you will suffer for it. Get back to God. The reality of today, now see, when I'm saying the reality of today, I was talking about the reality of today back in 1997. But if you look, here we are in the year 2024, and what we are seeing now, well, is a lot worse compared to what it was back then. But let's go on. The reality of today is that we are living in what is known by true Christians as the last days. That is reality. In these last days, it's a time when all hell will break loose. You can go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, verses 1 through 5. And it describes the conditions of the people and their attitudes towards God and others. Now, here's what I'm saying. The difference between now and back then. You think you are seeing trouble now? just wait until tomorrow. Things will get worse and worse. When I hear people talking about how we need to get together and turn this country around, and this country and the world around, I know they may have good intentions, but they don't know or are trying to get around the reality of what God says. You must realize if God said it, then that settles it. Tupac's death should be a wake-up call to all of us. Is it to you? Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope that you got something from it. And like I was saying earlier, the message written in 1997, things were bad then, but as I say, if I look at today and compare it to what was back then and compared to what it is today, it's 100 times worse, if not more than that. Because, you know, the Bible already says that we're living in the last days. All of these things are going to come to pass. We're seeing the fulfillment of what God says are going to lead up to the quote unquote end of the world as we know it. And despite whatever people might say they want to try to do to make things better, it's not going to work, because God has already mapped it out, given his stamp of approval, and he's moving it right on down the line, step by step, inch by inch, day by day. And things are slowly continuing to get worse and worse and worse. Both from the physical standpoint, as far as the human standpoint, you know, with crime and rapes of women, and you know, the killings and all that other stuff. But then you got the diseases that are coming up, killing people in record numbers. The pandemic of COVID-19 that we had a few years back. All of this stuff, diseases, then you got the earthquakes and the floods and the record freezing temperatures and the record heat and you know, all of these stuff. Even nature is part of God's plan to help to bring about the end of this world and life as we know it. So like I'm saying, you can't get around what God says is going to happen. The only thing that you can get around from is, as long as you're still alive, if you aren't saved, the Bible says that if you still are here and you're not saved, when the time comes where you either leave this life or Christ comes back and takes the church out of here, everybody that's left here is going, you think it's bad now in 2024? You have not seen anything yet. But the thing is, you can escape all of that, because God has made the way through Jesus Christ for you to do it. And now, as far as what all you have to do in order to avoid what's coming, you can do it right now, right where you are. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer and mean that prayer from the heart. Not just repeat the words, but mean it from the heart. Get it settled in your mind that you want to do what's right. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, you trying to instill fear in somebody to get them to get them to turn to God, and God wouldn't do nothing like that. Oh no, he don't necessarily want to do it like that, but the thing is, the truth is the truth. There's no getting around the fact what's coming. It's just the fact of what are you going to do about it. Now, if you want to avoid what's coming, all you have to do is pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and cleanse me of my sin and help me live my life according to the way that you would want me to live it. I put my total faith and trust in you, and I want you to be Lord of my life. I believe that you were born of a virgin, that you died on the cross for my sins, and was raised from the dead for my justification. I claim salvation right now in your most holy name, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer from the heart, meaning every word, congratulations, you are now saved. All of your past sins have been erased. You are just like a newborn baby coming into the world, except you're not newborn. You may not feel any different. You may not look any different. But trust that God is on the inside, that Christ is on the inside, and he's going to begin to be cleaning you up. Just like when you move into a house that's been vacant for a long time, you move in there and you see some stuff in there, you know, dirt and dust and things around, you usually clean up the house first before you move in. Well, Jesus comes in and he's starting to clean the house out. Clean your inside, clean your spirit out. That's what he does. And you will thank him for it later when you begin to see and look back on what was the big change in your life. It might have been this message. It might have been some other messages that had you on the verge of getting saved. And then this message came along and it really hit a chord with you. So you decided to make that decision. So, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Also, as a side note, this particular message is also in print in a free book that is available on this ministry's website, wordofgodministry.net. On the home page, look in the right column and go down a little over halfway the page, and you'll see some free books that are in the PDF format. One of them is 6 Short Messages to the Hip Hop Generation from the Word of God. This book has this particular track in it, along with some other messages as well. If you get a chance, pick it up, download it, and read it for yourself. Well, that's all that we have for today. And in closing, let me just say, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again next time. It's Evangelist George McTyre saying, good day.